When my kids were very young, were younger, I have three children, and I was cooking more regularly, I really enjoyed trying new recipes. Most of the time, they turned out pretty well. Although once in a while, there would be one that we all agreed was not a keeper. For example, the crockpot ground turkey meatloaf that I tried. We didn't do that one again. But mostly, they were pretty good. And I didn't just try them out on my family. Contrary to popular wisdom, I often tried new recipes on guests. And as far as I know, no one ever decided to not come back because of a bad new recipe experience. And while my one child, who is still at home, will tell you quickly that I don't cook as much as I used to, I do still enjoy trying new recipes. And to confirm that, you can just ask any of the ladies who come to the Wednesday afternoon fellowship time. And I try new recipes out on them probably at least once a month. And they keep coming back. This morning, I'm taking a similar kind of risk. I'm not trying out a new recipe on you, but I am trying out a new way of thinking about the resurrection, a new way of looking at the Easter story. And I hope that none of you decide to not come back because of this experience. This new way of thinking bubbled up in me a little while ago. On that particular day, as I was reading this morning's gospel passage that you just heard, I was struck in a way that I never had been before by the number of times that seeing or some version of seeing was mentioned. Maybe some of you had a similar experience as you were listening a few minutes ago. I'm guessing that at least some of you didn't, because very often we don't see, no pun intended, what we're not looking for. Before we go any further with the gospel passage, I want to offer a concrete example of this tendency that we have as humans to not see what we're not looking for. Some of you might have participated in the exercise we're about to undertake together before now. If so, please keep the answer to yourself.
This video is from research by Daniel Simons and Christopher Chabrie and is copyrighted. This is a test of selective attention. Count how many times the players wearing white passed the basketball. How many passes did you count? The correct answer is 15 passes. But did you see the gorilla?
So the first time I watched that video, I did not see the gorilla. And I've had other people watch it, and what the research shows is that about half of the people that watch that video do not see the gorilla. And they can't even believe it when they go back and watch it. And there it is, because we get so focused on counting. Did anybody count 15, by the way? So very often, we as humans tend to not see what we're not looking for. With that in mind, I'm going to read today's gospel passage again. And this time I invite you to listen for any reference to seeing. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Did you hear all of that seeing going on, all the seeing going on in the moments described in just 10 verses? Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. The angel said to them, I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. Come and see the place where he lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me. And of course, the Marys and the guard saw the angel. And then the Marys saw Jesus. So going back to that day, when I was struck by all that seeing, I began to wonder if there was something there to pay attention to. With all that talk of seeing in this description from Matthew's gospel of this discovery of Jesus' resurrection, I couldn't help but wonder, is there something central about seeing to the resurrection? Is there something about seeing that ironically, perhaps, I hadn't seen before because I hadn't been looking for it? And I started reflecting on what Jesus seemed to be showing people throughout his ministry, what he seemed to want them to see in his teaching, in his preaching, in his healing, in his feeding, in his praying, in his loving, even in his condemning and critiquing. In all of that, in all of who he was and what he was about, Jesus seemed to be constantly showing people the reality of God. He seemed to be wanting them to see the reality of God in the midst of their real day-to-day lives, the reality of God's unfailing presence, the reality of God's unwavering truth, the reality of God's unfaltering justice, the reality of God's unshakable peace, the reality of God's unending love. In all of who he was and what he was about, Jesus seemed to be continually revealing to people the reality of God's kingdom on earth, the reality of God's desire for beloved community among God's people, the reality of God's enduring longing for wholeness and healing for all of God's creation. Jesus seemed to be saying to the people around him, open your eyes. There's so much more to God than what you're seeing. Look around you. There's so much more to life that you're not seeing. In all of who he was and what he was about, Jesus seemed to be consistently inviting people to see what they weren't seeing, to see abundance where they had previously experienced scarcity, to see wholeness in what had always been called broken, to see forgiveness where they had repeatedly known condemnation, to see belovedness where they had only known shame. And there were repeated occasions when Jesus revealed the depths of people's arrogance and called them toward humility. Time and time again, Jesus laid bare people's self-righteousness, teaching love of other as the antidote. More than once, Jesus unveiled the prison of legalism, following rules blindly, and revealed that it was God's grace instead that would liberate. But it seemed so hard for people to see what Jesus was showing them. It seemed to go against so much of what they had been taught for so long. It seemed to go against so much of how they had lived for so long. It seemed to go against so much of who they thought they knew their God to be. It seemed hard for people to see what Jesus was showing them. Some of these people, the scriptures would lead us to believe, couldn't quite grasp what he was showing them. They tried. They couldn't quite get it. Some of them, it seems, didn't want to see what he was showing them. And others just didn't seem to care very much about it. Whatever the reasons, it seemed that there weren't very many people who could really see what Jesus was revealing to them about God, about themselves as people of God, about life. And then Jesus died, and they really weren't seeing it. The disciples all fled, terrified, convinced that they had lost their Lord. The religious leaders, no doubt, celebrated, convinced that they had won. And the women, also afraid, but faithful, went to the tomb a few days later just to see it, according to Matthew, maybe to convince themselves that it had really happened, that Jesus was really dead. None of them were seeing what Jesus had spent his life showing them. None of them were seeing the reality of God and God's unfailing presence, God's unwavering truth, God's unfaltering justice, and God's unshakable peace. None of them were seeing the reality of God's unending love until God revealed to them the reality of God's steadfast presence and truth and justice and peace and love in a way that they could not see. Yes, Jesus had been killed. Yes, Jesus had died. Yes, a very dead Jesus had been laid in a stone tomb. And yes, God had raised him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus revealed to his disciples in a way that they could not see that God's truth was more real than the lies of the world. The resurrection of Jesus revealed to his disciples in a way that they could not see that God's justice was more enduring than the condemnation of the power-hungry of the world. The resurrection of Jesus revealed to his disciples in a way they could not see that God's peace would outlast any distress brought on by any circumstances in their lives. The resurrection of Jesus revealed to his disciples in a way they could not see that God's love was stronger and deeper and more powerful than any betrayal or violence or hatred or fear, that it was even stronger and deeper and more powerful than death. The disciples could no longer not see the steadfast reality of God. They could no longer not see God's truth and justice and peace and love. Once they saw the empty tomb and saw Jesus himself alive again, they could no longer not see who he was and what he was about in his life and in his death and in life again. Their eyes were forever opened and they were forever changed. And so may the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that we celebrate still here today show all who have eyes to see in ways that we cannot not see who Jesus was and what he was about in his life and who God is and what God is about in Jesus' death and resurrection. May our eyes be opened to the depths of our arrogance, the truth of our self-righteousness, and the prison of legalism. And may we see clearly God's call to humility, love of other, and grace. And may our eyes be open to see abundance where we had previously seen scarcity, wholeness in places that have always been called broken, forgiveness where we have repeatedly known condemnation, and belovedness where we have only received shame. May the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that we celebrate still on this Easter Sunday show all who have eyes to see the steadfast reality of God's kingdom, the relentless reality of God's desire for beloved community among God's people, and the enduring reality of God's longing for wholeness for all of God's creation. May the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead reveal to us the reality of God and the reality of God's presence and power and truth and justice and peace and love in ways that we cannot not see. And like the disciples, may our eyes be forever opened, and may we be forever changed. Amen.